Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN about the Chiefs. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Good, Stephen. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. We've talked about, the guys we spent the most time talking about today were Lucas Niang and then Nick Bolton. So let's start there with Lucas Niang, because there were some people, I guess, that were upset with the way he looked on Twitter, in a video, or whatever people get outraged about nowadays. But Andy Reid praised Lucas Niang. They have high hopes for him. Your thoughts on Lucas Niang returning to action in Chiefs rookie minicamp?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs put him at right tackle. They only had four offensive linemen, so it's not like they had a ton of guys to work with, but he was working at right tackle, and I would expect that to continue when the Chiefs get together, for real here pretty soon. So we'll see in that regard, but he's a big guy. You know, it's hard to tell. They only had four linemen, so they didn't do any team kind of stuff during the rookie practices this weekend that he was allowed to participate in because he opted out of last season. So it was kind of hard to tell. I mean, you really couldn't get much of a look at what he's got. But he's a big guy and looks the part. So we'll see about him as time goes on. But kind of an interesting guy for sure.
Adam Teicher is our guest. Adam, also Nick Bolton. Andy Reid described him as Tiger Tough. And this is a guy certainly... I mean, he's a great pick to for the future, but that's a great pick for the present, too. Willie Gay, for a number of reasons, didn't make the impact that most had hoped last year. I know you were concerned about that as well, considering the very different offseason. But, I mean, it would be quite a disappointment if Nick Bolton wasn't an impact player right away, wouldn't it be?
It would. But here's the thing to remember. We've run across this with a couple of rookies, including Willie Gay, since Steve Spagnuolo has been the defensive coordinator. Steve Spagnuolo is tough on rookies. He wants to make a guy prove it and prove it and prove it and prove it again before he's ready. He's comfortable with the guy. He's pretty rigid in that regard. So, Nick Bolton's got some things to prove to Steve Spagnuolo before he's going to get some playing time. So we'll see how that goes. Certainly he should have some benefits here this offseason that Willie Gay didn't have last offseason. So we'll see if the process goes a little quicker for him than it did for Willie Gay. But, that's something I've got my eye on because, you remember that thing with Juan Thornhill when he was a rookie and he was standing out in camp and had a great preseason and, wait, what's going on here? He wasn't starting. And finally the Chiefs at the end of the preseason said, okay, we've seen enough. This guy can handle it. And we never did get to that point with Willie Gay really last year. I mean, he played a few games, he played some, but, it was never a consistent thing before he got hurt. So I feel like Nick Bolton's got a lot to prove to Steve Spagnuolo. We'll see if he can do it. And I did want to ask Andy Reid what that meant, Tiger Tough. I never got a chance, but I'm going to have to ask him sometime what that means.
Steven?
It's a good thing. All right? If you know, you know, right? Not me. Yeah. Andy.
And if you don't, you don't.
Yeah, that's right. Because I'm not sure any of us do, but I take it as a very good thing. So.
So is part of it the position itself? I mean, L'Jarius Sneed got to play a lot as a rookie last year, but playing inside linebacker, is that part of the issue as well, just in terms of how much you need to know of the defense?
Yeah, no, I think that's part of it, sure. That's certainly a more complex part of things. It is more difficult to pick up. So, that's certainly part of it, but it's still a rookie thing with him and guys really need to, really prove it with him. So we'll see with Bolton. I expect he can overcome this and I think the Chiefs need him. I think he's going to be a big guy for the Chiefs pretty much right off the bat.
We are talking with Adam Teicher from ESPN. Cornell Powell is wearing number 14, and I saw Sammy Watkins tweeting about it, how good he looked in that number 14. But there's a lot of people that have some realistic hopes for Cornell Powell being at least a part of this offense and adding to the depth at wide receiver. Of the guys that could have that possibility, I mean, Noah Gray, not a wide receiver, but could be an addition in the red zone and the pass receiver for Patrick Mahomes. Maybe tell us a little bit about what came out of camp for those guys, Cornell Powell and Noah Gray.
Yeah, I only got to see one practice, so I didn't get to see the whole weekend because the Chiefs closed down the last couple of days. But hey, Cornell Powell, you can see the talent there. No, he dropped a pretty easy catch the day I was there, but hey, everybody does that from time to time. The guy who sort of caught my eye was Noah Gray. More for how the Chiefs used him than anything. I mean, he was lining up all over the place. Again, it was just 7-on-7. They didn't do full team stuff, so no pads on. But he was all over the place, you know, in the slot, on one side or the other, you know, lined up as a tight end. I mean, they even split out once or twice. So there was some versatility there. And that's the only tight end I've seen the Chiefs do those kinds of things with on a consistent basis in the Andy Reid era is Travis Kelce. So, you know, there obviously are some comparisons there in terms of skill set. So, or at least the Chiefs want to see if that's the case or believe there is. So, you know, he was going downfield and beating coverage down the field a couple times. So, you know, there is some possibilities that way with him as well. So, I would expect, you know, not that this bar is very high because we all know it's not, but I think it's reasonable to think that Noah Gray could quickly become the best backup the Chiefs have had to Kelce since Kelce's been here.
And that's something that that Andy Reid has wanted, right? Like, that's not, is that fair to say? I mean, in terms he's wanted to have another tight end for some time.
Yeah, there's no doubt he has. And, you know, you look at Andy Reid's early years with the Chiefs did a ton of multiple tight end stuff. You know, they did a lot of three tight end stuff in the early days. I mean, in part because they weren't so good at wide receiver, right? I mean, they remember the year they went with a wide receiver touchdown catch. So, you know, he likes doing that kind of stuff, and they've gotten away from that in recent years, in part because they've been so deep at wide receiver, and that's where their strength has been. But, yeah, he does want to get back to that. But, the Chiefs haven't put a lot of resources into finding another tight end. So how much of a priority really was it? You know, they've been basically signing journeyman-type guys in free agency, spending very little money. And Noah Gray was the first tight end the Chiefs have drafted since, I think it was 2015. So it's been a while. And so the Chiefs really, you know, you could say they were trying, but they really weren't trying. And this is the biggest effort they put into it for a while now.
Adam Teich was our guest. Adam, what did you think of the Chiefs acquiring Mike Hughes last week from the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, that's an interesting acquisition. I kind of wanted to ask Andy Reid about it yesterday, but had some other things that were a bigger priority. I was hoping somebody else would get around to Mike Hughes, and it never happened. But, you know, interesting guy. You know, I like Brett Veach's philosophy of going after former high draft picks and getting them cheap. You know, we did it with Reggie Ragland. He did it with Cam Irving. He did it with DeAndre Baker. Now, there's been varying levels of success. You're not going to hit on all these guys. But if you can do it for a low price, what's the risk? I mean, the Chiefs drop down one round in the draft next year from 6 to 7 and still get a guy who is a former first-round pick. You know, and he washed out in Minnesota, so your hopes for him better be small, you know, not necessarily minimal, but they better be small. But who knows? Maybe the Chiefs can coach him up, you know. And part of what was his problem in Minnesota were injuries. I mean, he really had trouble staying healthy for some of the time there, and you wonder whether that set him back. So I think there's a good risk reward here. So I kind of like the move. You know, the Chiefs have some guys that I like at corner, but they're not as deep as probably you'd like. So this, I think, is a good this is a reasonable gamble for sure.
Do you think they'll still try to re-sign Bashaud Breeland?
Yeah, I think there's that possibility. You know, he's still out there, so you know, the Chiefs could bring him in. You know, what they may do is look at their guys during the off-season program that gets started here pretty soon, when off-season practice starts, including Hughes, and say, okay, you know, and after seeing a few practices, okay, what do we have here? Do we need somebody? Do we need Breland or somebody else? Or can we get by with what we've got? And, you know, a big part of that will be DeAndre Baker's health. You know, he broke his leg in that last regular season game last year. So what does DeAndre Baker have, and when can he bring that? But, you know, he was pretty impressive in that little bit that he played against the Chargers last year. So, you know, I think the Chiefs have some possibilities there. You know, none of these things always work out, you know, to where everyone is, you know, answers the questions and plays well. But I don't think the Chiefs are as needy at corner as maybe some people think. I think they're one injury away from that, so another body certainly would help. Maybe Mike Hughes is that guy. Maybe Breland needs to be that guy. But I don't think they're as bad off as some people think.
You mentioned what they liked, what they saw from DeAndre Baker, but it was pretty limited. I mean, how yeah. comfortable do they feel, if he is healthy, in what they saw from him last year?
Yeah, that's a very small sample size, and you don't win a Super Bowl by basing your decisions off sample sizes that small. So you don't say, well, we're going to have, you know, DeAndre Baker's going to play this way for us always when he gets healthy, so we don't need a guy. I mean, that's not the way you win a Super Bowl. So they're you know, hey, he's just, you know, that's sort of a benefit, you know, an extra now. If he can, you know, do that and be that player consistently for the Chiefs, you know, that's kind of a, you know, found money, if you will. So you can't count on that, and I don't think they will. But they've got Snead, and they've got Ward, and Rashad Fenton. So they've got some guy now, Mike Hughes, and maybe Breland. So particularly if they sign Breland, it's obvious they're not counting on help from Baker anytime soon.
All right, let's circle back to where we started, Lucas Niang. So all of the hand-wringing about his weight on Twitter, online, that was a whole bunch of nothing then, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, you know, he's a big guy. I mean, that's just a big-framed guy. He's 6'7", I think, and I feel like, you know, let's see what happens when camp and the season comes around. But I feel like right now that's nothing to worry about.
Adam, thank you for the time. Thanks for the update. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, anytime, guys.
That's Adam Teicher, covers the Chiefs for ESPN.com. Up next, we'll talk to Frank Bohl, who is at the Derek Thomas Neil Smith Third and Long Foundation Golf Tournament. We'll talk to Frank after this on WHB.